I had something come up on my heart. I knew, of course, Brother Keith would be tied up this weekend. Did y'all hear? Like Brother Hagin says, are you already gone home? No, you're here with me. So I had something strong come up on my heart about forever forgiven. Forever forgiven. And Brother Hagin used to teach this, and he'd say it all the time. Put up, if you would, for me. We're just going to get right into it. You okay with that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. He used to teach this all the time, and if you ever heard him, you heard him teach on this verse. John 15:7. I think it's in the King James. You ever heard him teach that verse? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you could ask it, or remain in you, some of the translations say, or live in you, or dwell in you. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, or live in you, or dwell in you, you can ask what you will. Now that sounds pretty doggone good. And it shall be done for you. I think I remember the first time I heard that, and I thought, you can ask anything you want to, and it'll be done for you. You know, that's pretty exciting. You know, that's when Keith and I asked for a car, I think, and it took us a few years, but the Lord blessed us with a car later on. Ask anything you will, but you got to get that first part. Put it back up there. If you abide in me, you dwell in me, you live in me. Now, how many of you lived with your parents when you grew up, or your grandparents, or lived with adults as raised you when you grew up? I see most every hand in here lived with people. Yeah. Abided with them. You dwelled with them. Now, how many of your parents said, as long as you live under this roof, you're going to live by my rules? Uh-huh. Yeah. Most every one of us heard that in our lifetime. If you're going to live with me, you're going to live the way I say you're going to live. We all heard that. Now, how many of us rebelled anyway? Did what we wanted to do. We did it our way. We did what we wanted to do. And things didn't go so well when we did it that way. There were consequences. There were things that happened when we did it that way. Well, you know, it's the same way with the Lord. If we abide in Him and we live in Him and we do it His way, then we can ask what He wills, and it will be done for us. But what's happened so many times is we try, I get so tickled sometimes at people, they've sat here for 25 years, and they've heard the word, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, on prosperity, and they still refuse to tithe. And they wonder why their car breaks down, their refrigerator breaks down, their dog breaks down. Because the devourer is not rebuked in their life. And everything in their life keeps breaking down. But if you're not abiding in Him, then you're not going by Mama and Daddy's rules. And it's not going to go well for you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But you keep trying to pound it in their little heads. Open that head up. Get in there. But they want to do it their way anyway. You know? Same way with you when you was a teenager. Don't look at me that way. It's the exact same way. You did with your mama and daddy, just like I did with my mama and daddy. They'd say, Phyllis, be home by 11 o'clock, 12:30, I'd show up. Well, you grounded. Don't go there with those girls. Don't do that. Don't be doing that. Did you do it anyway? Yeah, you did it. Don't drink that beer. Well, now, I didn't drink because my daddy was an alcoholic, but how many of you did? No, don't show me your hands. But you know what I'm talking about. You did it anyway. Why do we do that? Why do we do just the opposite of what we know we're supposed to do? Because we have this body, this flesh. And the Lord keeps reminding us, if you'll abide in me. Now, I've got this scale up here, and I want to show you something for just a minute. Okay, let's see if we can figure it out here. Jordan set me up, so if it's wrong, it's her fault. Jordan, stand up. So everybody can blame it on Jordan. Yeah. She's my right hand, my left hand, my foot, my ears, everything. She helps me so very much. Let's see here. Okay. Let's see if we can figure it out here. If you don't wonder what's going on, then she's going to play a bad part here in a little bit. So if at all, we get to that point. So our lives, our everyday lives, am I scrubbing little? You can hear me if I move it way down to my toes. So, okay. So our everyday lives are very natural. Have you ever noticed that? You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you do your hair, and you get mad because your hair doesn't do good today. See, look at mine. And you'll know what I'm talking about. But our lives are very, very natural. And we have to live in this natural world. But we're also supposed to do what? We just read it.
Abide in him.
Abide in him. Now, abiding in him, I was thinking about it. Now, if we abide in him, and he says he'll give us what we ask him for, I was thinking about that. Have you ever gone to the Lord and you not got what you asked him for? Well, every person in here could raise their hand. Don't do it, like I said, on the beer, but I was thinking about that. And sometimes it seems like it takes longer for some things and shorter for some things. I was thinking about how we are made in his likeness and image. We're made like him. And I was thinking, there's some people like I just described, Jordan or Dave or Rob. There's been some people in our lives that Mike and Shara, that have been with us 25 years plus. And it wouldn't matter if I called them. No matter where we were, what we needed, how hard it was to find, whatever time of day or night it was. Yesterday was Jordan's day off, and I used her all day long, and she just smiled the whole day. Because that's who she is. Is that the way we are with the Lord? Do you understand what I'm saying? If the Lord says, Phyllis, I need you to do this today, and I just hop to it and I keep a smile about my face and I just go on about my merry way and I do just exactly what he asked me to do, then when I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I need this, I just wonder if it affects how quickly he answers me.
Of course.
We are made in his likeness and image.
Amen.
Or if he asked me to do something, and I'm 10 years down the road doing it. Or maybe never do it. Just a thought. You do what you want to with it. But if I ask somebody to do something for me, and they never get around to it, or they grumble and complain the whole time they're doing it, how likely am I to ask them to do it again? Or how likely am I to want to do something for them? Are we made in the likeness and image of who? Anyhow, okay, so we get up on our daily routine. You can do what you, throw it away if you want to. But next time you go to the Lord, think about it. Me'll come to you. You know, I said this one time, I told the youth, I said, Next time you go to do that with that boy, my voice is going to come to your mind. You're going to be in the back seat. You're going to be ready to do it. And you ain't going to be able to do it because you're going to hear my voice. And they came back and they said, we couldn't do anything. All we could hear was your voice. Same thing's going to happen to you when you get ready to talk to the Lord. You didn't do what he asked you to do. You watch and see. Okay. So anyway, this is our lives. I don't care if you're 5 or you're 105. If you abide in him and he abides in you, you can ask what you will and it will be done for you. Now, there's 24 hours in a day, and most people don't spend 2 minutes abiding in the Lord, much less a tenth of it, 2 hours and however many, 40 minutes. Is that 10%?
Yeah.
Tithe is 10%. I would just assume a 10% of our time would be of value. I just assume that. If he wants 10% of our money, he'd probably want 10% of our time.
Right.
Now, he didn't say that. I'm just saying that. My blonde head thinks that way. But you sleep part of it, so you might could figure out a way in your logical mind to back it down to what? An hour and something? Anyway, we get up in the mornings, or here we are in our lives. Most people do this. They get married. What happens to that scale? Even the scripture says, stay single, because then you can't think about the Lord as much as you want to think about the Lord. Does it not?
Yes.
So what happens to that scale? This is God's side. This is our flesh and man's side. It gets a little heavy because you got to start thinking about your wife. You got to start thinking about the house. You got to start thinking about the bills. You got to start thinking about the honeydews. Does it affect your natural life when that happens?
Yes.
Do you have to purposely begin to purposefully make a purposefully point to abide in him?
Yes.
Do you have to change to make a point to abide in him?
Yes.
I mean, so you could even, you can say, okay, we're going to read our chapters together every day. Okay, we can put a little bit of that on there. See how much that moves?
Just a little.
Just a little. And that's the way it does in people's lives. Because that's not very much.
That's right.
Out of a day or a week or a month or a... How long does it take us to read our chapter? And then you start adding all the other things to our lives. We start adding, we have kids and we have sicknesses. And we have, we have to buy a house. This one's pretty heavy. It's just going to go back down. Let's see if we can fit it all on here. Jordan didn't buy them to where they would fit. Blame her. So we'll try to fit it on here. Just down. What are you thinking about? Your light bill, your gas bill, your phone bill, your water bill. Are you thinking about your tithes? Are you thinking about giving to the Lord? Are you thinking about the priorities? No, you're thinking about now. You're thinking about your job. 80% of the time, you're not thinking about the Lord. So you're not really being able to abide in him so much. Because you're having to think about these things. And the Lord knows these things. He's not holding it against you. He knows these things. But you have to think about these things. So here's these things. I mean, they just keep piling up and piling up. Oh, and then you have all these credit cards. And bills. And they just keep adding up. And this is our natural lives. This is what we go through every day. And this scale just keeps getting tipped and tipped and tipped more and more and more. And then you get a little money. You got to buy you a sports car or a minivan or whatever it is with your kids. And then you got kids and, oh my, this is more important than God sometimes, sports. I mean, sports on Sunday and the kids has got to go to their game. That's more important than church. I mean, you could never put God before a kid's tournament. That's right. It's more important. But God forbid they get hurt in that tournament, you're going to run to God. Now, I didn't say that. So we're going to want all these things. Now, are we abiding in Him during these times? We're thinking about our job. We're thinking about how mad we are at our boss. We're thinking about how mad we are at our sister, our mom and dad. And everything in our life is going on. And we just are barely working a thought in about God during that time. And it's difficult. It's difficult to abide in Him. So during that time, we try to work in a little bit more God. We say, we know we got to have this. So let's me and you get together, honey. And let's pray. Let's see if we can get a little bit more God in our life. And get some, these are not going to stay, Jordan. Maybe they will. Maybe y'all pray loud. Let's see. And we're going to try to work in a little bit more God. We're going to see if we can balance it out here. We'll just lay them down if we have to. But here we go. They stayed the other day. So let's see if we can. Get them to stay here. Whoop, whoop, whoop. No way. Anyhow, this says G-O-D. In case you can't see it, it says G-O-D. Okay? So we'll lay it down here. And we're going to try to work a little more God in our lives. So what happens during all this time? All this time, you're just doing what you need to do with the physical. You're doing what you need to do in your daily lives. Every single day of our lives, we're going about doing the natural stuff. And what is the thief doing? What is he doing? Okay, Jordan, get your thing ready. Come on up here. You're the only one that knows how to operate it. She's going to play the devil for us now. She's too cute to be the devil, but she's going to play the devil for us. And let's see who she can start at. Let's see who Dave, come on up here. We'll use Dave and Rob. Y'all come on up here and stand over here so she has two targets. We'll let them. Stand over here. Uh-huh. On this side. Stand over here on this side. Uh-huh. Y'all will be a good target for her. And so during this time, because we're not abiding in Him as much as we should, it's like we leave ourselves wide open for Him to do what? Go ahead, Jordan. Shoot those fiery darts. Keep on shooting. And He just keeps shooting fiery darts at us. I mean, He just keep on shooting them, Jordan. Don't stop. Dear me. This is your opportunity. Just keep. Dave said, those hurts. Well, the devil hurts. I'm telling you, he hurts. And that is the devil's ploy, guys. She's got some more. Go ahead, shoot him some more. You might as well. She reloaded yesterday. Look at all. That is the devil, guys. That is exactly the way he works. That is the way he works. Thank you, guys. Yes. That is him. That's what he does in our lives. Then he comes with condemnation. He comes with condemnation and makes you feel condemned because you haven't spent the time with the Lord. You haven't done the things you know that you need to do. Now, God doesn't condemn us. He's never condemned us. He's not a condemner. Right. We're condemned when our own heart condemns us. if we didn't do something that we knew we should do. Now, let me give you another verse here real quickly after that. The thing that is the problem about condemnation is, you all know the verse, Hebrews 4:6. This is where we run into problems. Well, I thought I had the right verse. 4:16. Sorry, I can't read my own text. Therefore, let us come, what?
Boldly
to the throne. When we haven't spent any time, because we've been so busy working, doing the other things in our natural lives, we've been doing everything else but putting God first. The devil comes and he plows on our minds and he plows on our heads to condemn us, make us feel guilty about stuff. He is the meanest scoundrel that there ever was.
Yes, he is.
And he's going to come in and try his best to condemn you every moment of your life. He's going to find something to condemn you about. And if he can't condemn you about what's going on today, he's going to pull up everything from your past that you did. And he's going to remind you of everything that you ever did in your past. You know, it doesn't help you. Your past. How many of you have confessed 1 John 1:9 over everything in your past? Big majority of you, not everybody. How many of you are saved? Then it should be under the blood. It should be in the past. How many of you can say that you can remember the bad that you did wrong and the devil brings it back to you anyway? 3/4 of the people in here. And when you go to the Lord to ask him for something, the first thing that comes to your mind is, don't you remember? Don't you remember? I asked you to do this. I asked you to do that. Or what about this? You should have been there. And those are all true. And we need to fix those. Like I said, be ready to do what he tells us to do. But we got to be ready to confess our... We've already talked about this last week or week before, whenever that was. Confess our sins, lay our head on the pillow at night if it's condemning us and fix it. But as soon as we do that, we've got to not let our hearts condemn us about it. Our past is our past. What we're doing today, if you repent, now somebody tell me what repent means. You don't do it anymore. So if the Lord deals with you, okay, get up and spend of this day that you've got so figured out. And I've told you this before. Miss Gloria told me, as busy as you get, the more busy that you get, the most important thing that you can do is start out spending time with me. Amen. And a lot of times, if you'll do that, it can eliminate a lot of these things. And you'll get the answer to a lot of those things. And you won't even have to do a lot of the natural things that you thought you were going to have to do. And you'll have the time to spend with the Lord. And you'll get the answers that you're going to do. But the reason that people don't go boldly to the throne, why wouldn't you go boldly to the throne? Well, it's just like a child. Okay, we'll go back to your teenage years. Okay? Why didn't you go ask your parents for something after you messed up? You were not going to get it, you thought? Now, good parents. I remember Keith and I were driving in New York City. And we were up there doing a meeting for some people. I forget what they were. Bishops or something. I don't remember what they were. I know they ordained us. Let me see if I can remember what I was ordained. I can't even remember. I'd have to ask Keith what it was. Anyway, we were ordained missionary, evangelist, something. Anyway, but the pastors were in the car, and we went by this street corner, and there were these wild-looking people, and one of them had like a red rooster spike mohawk on his head. And I wasn't there at the time. I wasn't where she was. I didn't have the compassion. We were still, actually, I don't even know if Keith had graduated from Bible school at the time. If he had, it had just been a little bit. And she looked at us and she said, that's some mother's baby. And I thought, that is the compassion of God. That's true God. That is who God is.
Amen.
And that is how God is. And it makes me think even today, a true loving mother and father, it would not matter what their child did. They would still take them back and welcome them with open arms. That's the way our Father is. He didn't send Jesus to die on the cross for one person that made one little tiny mistake of talking about somebody or doing some small thing. He sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for all of our sins for all time.
Amen.
And to wash it away forever. Not to cover it. Let me borrow your blanket here. Or she's got hers out. Not to take it and just cover it once and for all, you know, or one day. But to wash it like you take a shower and wash off all this makeup and wash off all the dirt. He doesn't cover things that you can take the blanket off and see it again, but he washes it completely. Now, if it's washed, it's like a chalkboard that everything is gone from, and you can't read the letters that were under it ever to see them again. So that's what he does with your sin and my sin. So that's how we could come boldly to the throne.
Amen.
I don't care if it was 1 minute ago that you did it or 50 years ago that you did it.
Right.
That's how he is. Let me read you some scriptures about it. He says, let's put some up on the screen, and you might want to mark these. You all know 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, you can say them with me. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And there's that word. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means we are in right standing to stand before him immediately. He cleanses us from it. The minute that we confess them to him, we're immediately ready to stand before him. Isaiah 43:25, the NIV. I am he who blots out your transgressions. Now read the next part. Read the next part. Not for your sake, but for his own sake. He sent Jesus for his own sake. For his own sake, and the next part. He remembers your sin
no more.
No more. Never, ever. Say never.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
Never. ever, never, ever. How long is that? Never, ever, never, ever, never, ever. It doesn't matter what it was. He never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never remembers it again. That is if you truly repent. And repent means
change.
Psalm 103:12. NIV. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That's like it goes in a circle and it's infinity. It just keeps going. It's nonstop. Isaiah 38:17. Surely, as it was for my benefit, 38:17 NIV. Surely, as it was for whose benefit? That I suffered such anguish, in your love you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put my sins where? Behind him. You can't see. If you're standing straight, can you see what's behind you?
No.
Absolutely not. It's past. It's behind you. Hebrews 8:12, NIV. I will what? Not just their sin. Now, sin could just be gossip. Sin could be you not doing what you were supposed to do. Sin could be, sin is everything from omitting to do what God told you to do to murdering somebody.
That's right.
But this said wickedness. And I will remember their sins evermore.
No more.
Huh?
No more.
No more. Now, needn't you sit there and look at me like you ain't never messed up? Because most of you messed up yesterday when you talked about somebody. Or you judged somebody. Or you didn't forgive your mother, or you didn't forgive your father, or you didn't forgive your sister, or you didn't forgive your brother, or you didn't forgive your pastor, or you didn't forgive me for saying something about you. Or you're in disagreement with something in the Word. That's a sin. To disagree with God. Oh, that's quiet. People are going, we don't want to be in disagreement with God. Isaiah 43:18 and 19. Well, 18. Forget the former things and dwell not on the past. Do you know that there are people in here sick today? I was talking with somebody the other day. And they brought up something and was apologizing to me for it that they did when I was, gosh, I had to be 11 years old. And still feeling guilty for that. Letting the devil play with their mind about that. They're not the only ones. There's people that the devil is able to just mess with them year after year after year after year and just get in the chair with them and harass them. Whether it's about weight, whether it's about things they take, places they go, things that they've done, divorce, abortion, whatever it is. See how quiet it got there? He's mean. But God says he doesn't remember anything anymore. He says forget your past and move forward. He doesn't want us not being able to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive what we need. You cannot abide in him if you're pulled away from him. And that's why people do what they do. Most people go about their daily routines like this simply because they have no confidence in going to God. Because they've done things that they're ashamed of and they don't want to go see his face. If Dave messed up, he might not want to come and just say, hey, look, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. He's done it 1,000 times, but it's not comfortable to do that. But that's what you have to do with the Lord. Amen. You have to tear down that thing that the devil has tried to build up. You don't want these fiery darts being able to hit you and steal from you and kill from you and destroy you. Because if you don't go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, just as quickly as you can, then you're open fodder for just these fiery bullets to get you. You want to be able to abide in the Lord. You want to be able to go to him and he can give you everything. And as soon as you do, the Lord does not even, I mean, he doesn't remember it. So if you bring it up to him, he's going to say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't remember that. He's not going to hold it over your head and say, Rob, quit that. Quit doing that. Because he doesn't remember it. Dave's brought up in sermons about times when we first started the building. And I forgot about it. But he keeps bringing it up. And I know he's doing it to tell a point, to get something across. But we need to forget the things that are behind us. And press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. And come boldly to the throne. The devil will keep you ingrained in bad things or negative things. And he'll shoot these bullets. Look at all the bullets up here. They'd be dead. Because that's who the devil is. He wants you wide open to him. So he can just keep shooting at you. And reminding you, you did drugs. Do you remember you talked about your mother? Do you remember you stole that $10 from your workplace and you never put it back? That's who he is. So you will not abide in him. Because you're ashamed to abide in him. We used to have people at Rhema, bless their hearts, they refused to be in the same building with Brother Hagin because they would say, Brother Hagin will know what I'm thinking. He'll be able to read my mind. He'll know I messed up on that. He's a prophet. There's people that do that with Keith. They don't want to be around him. I remember one time we was going to the airport and we had this airport shuttle. And this guy, he said, I had to change drivers. He took me later. I came in a few minutes after Keith did because he was parking the car. And he said, I couldn't drive the shuttle because I knew Brother Keith would know how I messed up. And I thought, God knows how you messed up. That's more important than Keith. Get it right. Get it right. He's way more important than Brother Keith or Brother Hagin. Take 5 seconds and say, God, hey, look, I'm human. I messed up. I did. I didn't mean to. I did. If I'd have had more word in me, I wouldn't have done it. But I was busy with all this stuff. Living my life. And I got a little off course. But I'm going to find some more time to be with you. So that I don't get all these fiery darts. I don't like it when the devourer's able to get to people. Amen. That's why I don't like it when people don't tithe. Do you know that? People think it's just for our sake. It's not for our sake. It's for your sake.
Exactly right.
Because when the devil's able to attack you and break your car and break your refrigerator and cause you to have a wreck and cause you to be sick and cause you to spend all your money on doctor bills, you can't say, like I scream out all the time, the devourer's rebuked. Because you ain't tithing. It's for your sake. And it's the same thing with this other stuff. If you can't come boldly to the Lord, and you can't abide in Him because you're ashamed of something you did, you get out of your chair. You run to the Lord wherever you are. You shut that bathroom door. I don't care if they think you're throwing up or you got diarrhea. You say, Lord, help me. And you fix it. You fix it. I don't care if you just said something to them right there that was a lie or not right. Fix it with them if you want to, but make sure you fix it with the Lord. Make sure He knows your heart. Because if you abide in Him, put that verse back up there. 15:7. John 15:7. That's the NIV. Let's put it in the King James. Well, remain is fine. Remain is fine. If you abide in me. If you live in this house, you're going to live by my rules. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask, what's that next part? What you will, and it shall be done. It might be done. There's a possibility in this lifetime it might get done. It shall be done for you and you and you and you and you and you and you. But you got to come boldly to Him and abide in Him. That means you're not ashamed. Do you know how many people, when you go out and they say, what do? People are ashamed. To say, okay, I say, we're pastors. We're pastors of two churches. We've got the most wonderful people. But people go out, do they say, oh, we go to a Word and Faith church? Oh, no, they don't tell that. They're ashamed. We go to a prosperity church. Oh, never. Never. What, do you want to prosper? Whatever you're ashamed of. God says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be what? So whatever part of Him you're ashamed of. Uh-oh. I didn't say that. Find it in the scripture. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be what? We got to abide in Him and all the parts of Him. And when you go out, don't be ashamed of Him. Don't be ashamed of Him with your neighbor or with your friends or with your coworkers or with your, you know, whoever. Oh, yeah, I love Brother Copeland. That Copeland preacher? Did you get a new car in the last couple of years? How'd you find out about prosperity? Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't be ashamed of the things of God. Abide in Him. Abide. Say abide.
Abide.
Live.
Dwell.
Just like you did in your house, you do it in the Word. You do it in the Lord. And sometimes you can't, we don't get out, and I'm not trying to be negative, but we don't get out our mats and pray every hour. But you can pray every hour.
Amen.
I had the guys set things on their phones to remind them to check with the Holy Spirit. What do we need to do now? That is abiding in the Lord.
Amen.
That's reminding yourself that you are led of the Lord. You're looking to Him throughout the day, all day. You're giving Him place in your life to show you what to do and lead you. And you're not ashamed. Keith tells this story. I don't know where he heard it, but about this guy that was getting in an elevator, and he is mad about something. He is just cussing. You've probably heard him tell it. He was just cussing. And I think it was John Osteen. Does somebody remember? John Osteen got in there, and he started saying, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." We cannot be ashamed to do that. And that's why so many of the other side is taking over. Because we as Christians are ashamed to speak up for our God. We can't be ashamed to say, "Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Out loud at our desk. Amen. In the dentist office. Amen. There's not one place that I go that doesn't know who I am and what I do. Amen. And who I serve. You should be pleased. I was going to say proud, but I better not. You should be pleased to let people know what you do. If you are pleased and honored to tell everybody who you are, God will be pleased and honored with you. And just like I said from the beginning, who is God going to answer faster? People that want to put Him in a corner and hide Him? Or people that are ready to scream about Him from the mountaintops?
Amen.
We have to reassess what we've been doing. Are you ready when the Lord says, "Get up today and go talk to your friend and take them shopping or do whatever"? Are you too busy today? Or if the church says we need 500 workers or we need this, y'all are good about it. But a lot of churches are not. We constantly have pastors saying, "We don't have any volunteers. How do y'all get people to volunteer?" Because they love God. Y'all love God. But don't be afraid to come boldly to Him. If you mess up, it's real simple. Real simple. Let's try it on for size. Father.
Father,
I messed up. There you go. Tell Him what you messed up on. That's it. That's how simple it is. Then if you messed up, do it just like you did with your parents. You may take 5 seconds to readjust your makeup, your hair, wash your face, and come back out and smile. Put a smile on. Don't let the devil kick you down and beat you down like with a big hammer. Like Keith says, he'll give you a hammer. You'll get a hammer and he'll give you a bigger one to beat yourself up with. Don't do that. He is the Father that loves you. And He's all the time trying to pick you up and make you stand and hold your head up high. I don't care if you're 5, like I said, or 105. Never let Him beat you down. You know, Brother Hagin, I've been listening to him a good bit lately, and he said this. And you need to get it. Listen to it, write it down, star it, stripe it, go back and listen to it again. Thoughts are words not spoken or put into action die unborn. Thoughts are words not put into action die unborn. In other words, if you think something bad about me and you don't say it to anybody, it dies. And you're much better off that way. Just because you thought it, the devil can make you think anything. Just don't let that mouth spurt it out. Zip, zip. Zip it. Then you don't have to repent. Then you have nothing to be ashamed of. We've missed it so many times. You know, the word talks about, you know, if you can bridle your tongue, you can control your whole body. The Lord forgives us for everything we've ever done. And we can come boldly, boldly, boldly to Him. He is a very forgiving God. He's not going to hold anything against you. But you can't keep doing it. You can't keep going to Him, oh God, 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 please forgive me. Then get up, go back, do it again. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Get up, go back, do it again. He will help you to change it. And the way He helps you to change that is by spending time praying in the Spirit and spending time in His Word. It makes you stronger on the inside.
Yes.
Because He never intended us for us to be able to do things by ourselves. And that's what people try to do. Let me give you a couple more things. Unforgiveness to others or to yourself is a hindrance to your answered prayer. The scripture talks about 7 times 70 times. Is that in a year? Is that in a lifetime? 7 times 70. How many times a day are you supposed to forgive yourself? Huh? 490 times a day, you're supposed to forgive yourself. Guess what? You're supposed to forgive your spouse. You're supposed to forgive your kids. You're supposed to forgive your boss. You're supposed to forgive your mom and dad, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your pastor, me. Have we been doing that? Or have we been going off in the corner and going, did you see what they did? Then we get judged. Did you see what they were wearing? Did you see what they looked like? Unforgiveness. Now, the most important thing about all of this that I want you to get is you can get all your sins forgiven. Everything. We're going to pray it in just a moment again. But even in that, if you've got your whole chalkboard just washed clean and you can't remember anything, it's just like your mind is washed clean of everything you ever did. And you feel good to go boldly to the throne and ask the Lord for whatever you're believing Him for. There's one thing that will stop you from still abiding in the Lord and coming boldly to the throne. Anybody know what it is? He whispered it, but He got it. Turn with me to Luke 6:37. I just want the last part of that. We've covered the first part a lot of times. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. And then put up Mark 11:25, or actually 26. We'll just skip the first part and go to 26. But if you forgive, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. So all those people in your past and sitting beside you and that you know, that you just, when you think about them, something inside you raises your blood pressure. You must forgive them by faith. I've had people in my life that they have done everything in the world that they could to hurt me. I've told you some of the stories. I told you the one about the girl that called me one time and she said, I'm going to tell all those stories about how you and Keith were having so much trouble and all this stuff. And if you don't go to court and stand up for me so I can get my child. I said, go right on ahead. I said, it's all on tape. I've told it to everybody. I said, you go right on ahead. She's trying to hurt me. I've had family members. They have done everything under the sun they could to hurt me. And all I've done is sown into them, given to them, and looked up to the Lord and said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And I refuse with every fiber of my being to be bitter at anybody. I determined it decades ago. I refuse. Refuse. I will not be mad at anybody. I'm not going to be. I can tell you with a clear heart and a clear conscience in here today, the only person I'm mad at is Dave Vaughn. I'm just kidding. Dave is a blessing to us. And he's here after traveling all night and getting here. But don't. I'm going to say it again. Don't. I'll scream it. Don't be bitter at people. It will eat you alive.
Yes, it will. Yep.
It will eat your insides. It will cause strokes. It will cause cancer. It will cause problems. Do not be bitter at people. Amen. It doesn't matter if they take every dime you got. Don't be bitter at them. Let them have it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you a secret. I know the source.
That's right.
And he can give you all the money you ever believed for. And he can heal you. And he can provide for you. And he will give you everything you need. Do not be bitter at people. Let them have it. Let them have everything. Everything. Just walk away and smile.
Yes.
And be healed.
Amen.
And be healthy.
Yes.
And abide in Him.
Amen.
And go boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes.
And He will give you everything. Because you abide in Him. And you lay your pillow, your head on the pillow at night in total peace. And happiness and joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you can't be bitter and joyful. So stand up with me. And don't come up here where the bullets are. Stand up with me. And say, Father God.
I am forgiven.
If there's anything in my life
that I have not repented of,
bring it to my remembrance.
And I repent of it now.
Now take a second. Say it to him under your breath, aloud. Clear your heart. Play something on the keyboard. Freedom in your heart, freedom in your mind. Clear heart, clear mind. Now, Father, say it with me. Now, Father,
I'm free
to come boldly to your throne, unashamedly, and I can abide in you because I'm no longer ashamed. And Father,
I forgive
anyone
that has had
aught against me or done anything against me. They can have it.
They can have
my money.
They can have
my stuff. They can have it.
Amen.
Because I love you more
than
I do stuff
and things.
You're the most important thing to me. You can give me that stuff. And you can give me your love. You can give me another man. You can give me another wife. That's more important. You are more important than anything. I love you, Lord. And I'm free from that condemnation, from that past. I'm moving forward and pressing on to the mark of the high calling in you, in Jesus Christ, from this day forward, in Jesus' name. Now just thank Him for it. Thank you, 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 thank you. Now if you're in here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you got free today because of this, Lord, I just ask you, if there's anyone in here or out there under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, I just ask you, say this with me. Say, Father God,
I love you
and I accept you
as
my Lord and Savior. I want to abide in you. I want to be free from all my sins from this day forward and serve you. And I thank you for cleansing me and making me free. I call you my Lord and my Savior. And I just thank Him for it. Thank you, 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 Lord. Thank you, Lord.